W263AI Murfreesboro. W270AF Murfreesboro.
WGNS Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
It is now 8:13, temperature outside 72 degrees. You're tuned to WGNS. We do appreciate you tuning in. We'll get you another update on the weather and also the traffic situation again in just a little while. But this morning we're going to be talking about the upcoming American Heart Association Heart Walk here in Rutherford County. And our guest today, David Hoke. Now, David, you've done this for a couple of years now.
Well, Scott, this is my second year as involved as a chairman in a Heart Walk, and maybe we'll talk about that a little later in the broadcast here this morning. But at the last minute last year, we had a chairman fall out, not plan the day before the Heart Walk, said he could not chair this year. And I volunteered to co-chair if I could find somebody to really help me, and I'll talk about my co-chair later. She's done a great job and deserves a lot of credit for this year's walk.
The Heart Walk is coming up September the 13th, I believe, right here in Murfreesboro.
Right. 2 weeks from tomorrow morning, we're hoping for a beautiful fall morning. The walk itself is at 9 a.m. And begin in the parking lot in front of St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital. And there'll be some other great festivities beginning at 8 o'clock that morning. So we're just hoping for a great fall morning, cool temperatures, and get a head start on today.
If it is anything like today, it's going to be perfect. 70-degree weather right now. This would be nice weather for that.
This would be ideal. Yeah, last year we were really blessed. Same time of year. I think last year the date was the 14th, but the exact same weekend. MTSU had a home game that evening. The other teams were playing away from home, so we had a great turnout and excited about what we might see this fall.
Of course, MTSU has a home game tomorrow. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that as well.
Well, that's an exciting thing for the community. I've been a resident here for 20 years in Murfreesboro now, and think all the time how blessed we are with MTSU. Rick Massaro, they've done a great job with the program.
You know, living in Murfreesboro is really ideal because you've got so many great things around you. Not only the great things here in Rutherford County, but you're close to the big city like Nashville, for example, the Titans. I don't know if you went to that game last night, but that was a fun game to watch.
No, I actually got to enjoy part of that one on TV. I missed the start of it, much like the Green Bay game. I think it just came down in buckets last night, and of course the Vanderbilt game across town was delayed. But we live in a great city, and people fail to realize how important sports are to our community because it never seems to fail when a team is doing the well, whether it's the Predators, the Titans, MTSU. The hometown teams, when they're performing well, the high school teams here in Rutherford County, it seems to lift everybody up, puts everybody in better spirits.
Now, David, before we get started talking a little bit more in depth about the Heart Walk, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've been here, as I mentioned, for 20 years. My wife and I, Ann Hoke, moved here in 1995. We were looking for just a good community. We had lived around the country, actually lived outside of the U.S. The year before. We were coming back from a corporate assignment in Europe and the Middle East. And I chose Murfreesboro. We had lived in Brentwood before and wanted an area that we thought where our kids would get a better experience at the real world. And certainly the university environment here was attractive to us. And just the cross-section of life. And at the time, we could not begin to see the growth in Murfreesboro. The only chain restaurant in town back in those days was O'Charley's. So major changes since then.
Oh yeah. And I remember 20 years ago, we also had, well, probably 25 years ago now, the Peddler. The Peddler was one of those restaurants where you could go sit down, have a nice meal. They brought the steak out, cut it in front of you, all that stuff. I don't think we were quite ready for that then, but nowadays we may be.
I tell you, we're not far from it. I mean, you look at some of the more expensive luxury type apartments going up out near the avenues and things going on. This community is going to continue to grow. Projections, I think, depending on who's you're looking at, show us by 2030, which is only 15 years away, possibly our population improving or increasing another 70 to 80%, even as high as 500,000 people living in the community by that time.
Now, things like the Heart Walk going on here in Rutherford County, events like that help to bring the community, I think, closer together. You get to meet your neighbors, all of that stuff.
Absolutely. The Heart Walk's all about community involvement and trying to just demonstrate in a physical sense, let people see and know what's going on in terms of good health. It's really as much an awareness movement, the walk itself. It's one of the Heart Association's, in fact, it's our number one fundraiser across the U.S. But for me, the appeal there is not just raising the money. It's trying to educate people, create awareness and a little bit of enthusiasm for better heart health.
Now, when you start looking at numbers and statistics involving the heart, it's kind of scary. Like heart disease, for example. Heart disease and stroke take the lives of 1 in 3 Americans, including 17,000 Tennesseans, every single year.
It's amazing. And I think we think of the cancers and we get excited about different illnesses. And when they become personal to us, Scott, I think all of us will take up a cause. But almost any of us have been touched by someone in our immediate family, someone we know, and many cases, maybe ourselves, that are fighting different effects of heart disease. So you're right. 1 in 3 Americans will actually die of heart disease, meaning either an actual heart attack, another heart-related function, or a stroke.
Now, you look at cancer. A lot of the cancers out there are not things you can necessarily prevent. You inherit some of these genes, and then you get cancer throughout your life. Of course, there are a lot of cancers you can prevent, but with heart disease, that's the kind of thing that you can start working on early in life in trying to prevent it, making sure you have regular checkups for one.
Absolutely, and I think anyone, you know, depending on your age, but even today they're beginning to test and check younger people. When you talk about the lifespan of heart disease, and one of the passions for me is just the realization of childhood diabetes and how that affects heart health, and the obesity amongst young kids is rampant in our society. And if you begin to look back, and we won't go into probably all that on the program today, but you look back over the last 20 years, 30 years, when I grew up as a youngster and even 40 years ago, we had outdoor activities. We were living probably in different type of communities, different type of school settings. It wasn't a sedentary lifestyle. You didn't sit in front of the TV or play with your iPod or on different gaming devices. And you had activity then. And the foods didn't have the same sugars and things. So it's been a tremendous change.
According to the American Heart Association, they say 80% of cardiovascular disease is preventable through healthy living choices that we make every day. 80% preventable.
Absolutely. And some of those things begin with good nutrition. More fruits and vegetables, you know, the nuts, the legumes, the seeds, fish, less saturated fat, sodium, you know, not to beat up on those restaurants we were talking about, but when you eat out, and particularly many of us are in lifestyles where our work and other things force us out of convenience to, or at least we feel like it forces us to eat out a couple of times a day, you're ingesting those sodiums, those extra sugars. It's that sodium and sugar that makes foods taste so great, makes us want more and more and keep eating and coming back to that restaurant. So that's one of the big things, starting just with diet. But second part of this is the exercise and the walk, and the reality that physical activity, just 30 minutes a day, really goes a lot toward better heart health, cardiovascular fitness, things of that nature. And they say that 1 hour of walking can actually add 2 hours to your lifespan. Now, that's not just 1 hour one time, Scott, but developing that habit of walking every day. And for many people, they think, well, I'm not going to go run. I'm not going to go bike. Well, the healthiest exercise you can do probably is that 15-minute, 30-minute, 45-minute walk a day. And it just begins one day at a time.
You know, it's interesting. You talk to somebody who's our age, and you say something like, you know, you can increase your life by 2 hours for every mile you walk or something like that. And they're like, so what? But you talk to someone in their 80s, in their 90s, and you say, you know what? You're going to have an extra week of life. If you were able to say that, you're going to have an extra week of life because of the extra exercise you did. Now, they're going to take that and they're going to say, wow, that means a lot to me. That's another week with my family.
Well, and those the over-accumulative lifespan, those extra hours add up to a lot more than that week or two for many of us. And the other thing we fail to realize, it puts us in better physical condition. In the event we do get a heart attack, we do get some sort of blockage, we're stronger and more likely and able to overcome that. Same thing, you know, if your weight's in check and you have to have a total hip or a total knee, it's a lot easier to recover without that weight bearing. So I think part of this healthy benefit is not just that longevity, the fact that when you do have to fight through the trials of life, particularly the health trials, your body's more physically fit, more able and capable of fighting back on its own like it's meant to do.
I was talking to a friend of mine the other day. He's in his 40s. His father's in his 70s. And he was telling me how his dad, back when he was 40-something, he had a heart attack. And he was real worried about that because heart problems run in his family. And, you know, I said, first of all, you exercise all the time. You eat better than your dad knew to eat back then. You're on medication for blood pressure and cholesterol, which was something probably your dad was never on looking back. But you started that a long time ago, back when you first learned that you had heart problems in your family, cholesterol problems, and so on. And, you know, that being said, today's medicines also play a very large role in helping to prevent a lot of the problems like heart disease.
Absolutely. I think, you know, you can be blessed with good genes, you can be blessed with good health, but none of that takes the place, I don't believe, of regular checkups, whether that, depending on your age, whether it's a once a year physical, maybe every couple of years if you're younger, but have an internist or physician that's really going to look at your heart. And if you need special tests, you're going to get those. And I've had a couple of scares during my life and nothing there. But along the way, I was diagnosed with a chronic blood clotting disorder from after a knee surgery. And I've now realized that I was at greater risk for stroke because of that. And I'm on medication just to take care of that clotting factor. But I think those physical checkups, not being afraid to go to the doctor and seeking help, is a part of maintaining a healthy lifestyle and part of your heart health as well.
You know, the exciting part about that, those who are in their 80s today who have lived a long life, they didn't have all these great medications back then. And if they can live that long and they're part of your family, and if you are on the proper medications and are eating healthy, imagine how great your lifespan is going to be and your quality of life.
Well, it can definitely be much better than it was for them back there. You'll suffer through some of the less traumas. But the other thing we're doing today, Scott, and I fall victim to this, I don't know if you do, but we all seem to drive and work real hard. And some of us say, well, I don't work as many hours as you, but they do other things that drive their body. And it's important to getting the proper sleep and things as part of this and just give your body time to recover at night. Again, I think that probably factors in, not talked about often with the heart health itself, but you've got to have the rest and sleep and time to get away sometimes and just leave the stress of life behind. We're too wired to iPods and iPhones and the devices that just drive us minute by minute.
Sleep plays a huge role in our daily life, and a lot of people forget that, and they, you know, work 24/7, it seems like, and they get about 4 hours of sleep a night, but that's just not enough.
No, I mean, I think studies show probably, I think the number's in the 7 to 8 hour range, but they're now saying, I think you may have heard last week, high school kids need up to 9.5, 10 hours of sleep. And in fact, some folks are recommending, an 8:30, 9 o'clock start time for high school, which borders on the ridiculous, because in the real world, you're going to start to work probably earlier than that. But nonetheless, at different ages, you need different amounts of sleep. And occasionally, there'll be a unique individual whose body may only require 4 or 5. But I've found when I can go on those 4 hours, and I have some times when I can go in 4 or 5 hours for a couple nights in a row, there's something else off that's allowing me to do that. Either I'm obsessed with the worry with something, or something's driving me. And my body naturally, for me personally, is in that 7-hour range is where I seem to perform real well.
Things like worry, things like anxiety, stress, depression, all of those things play a very big role in our life and how our heart functions.
Absolutely, because those indirectly would affect probably how we eat and how we rest and do other things. I mean, you're too stressful, you're too busy. What's the first thing you cut out? You cut out your exercise. You cut out, if you're doing a little bodybuilding in terms of weightlifting, just even to maintain, you cut those things out. So stress can affect you so many ways, not just that the actual physical effects of stress on the body, but the side effects of what you don't do because you are stressed.
We've all had stress in our life at one point or another. Some of us listening today, I'm sure, have stress right now. It's hard to cope with at times.
Well, it is, and obviously I'm not the expert at that, at least in view of this radio show here, but I think that one of the places that starts is getting that time to ourselves and back to this idea of walking with the heart walk and things. Just getting out and walking and getting away and leaving your phone behind for a half hour a day or 45 minutes a day, the mind begins to clear up. You can begin to forget things or think through things you need to think through, but I think that's an important thing to do with that.
Spending time with family is a great activity. I know at times that too can be stressful, but it is a very positive thing in somebody's life to be able to go out to eat with the family, relax with the family, maybe go to the park. Those are things that help lower your blood pressure, believe it or not.
Absolutely, and I think the other, you know, so blessed are the people that have families to have those relationships with, and others can find family through their churches and maybe other groups they associate with. But I think it's back to when you talked about, you know, what if I have an extra week to live or an extra 5 years to live, or what do those numbers become for you because of good heart health? You want something to live for. And typically, when you talk to an older person, they want to live to see a grandchild, meet a benchmark. My father died of heart disease last November, and it happened to be the year of his 60th wedding anniversary in September. All of his brothers who've passed before him and his sister who's currently living had gotten to their 60th wedding anniversary. That was in September. My father had said for a year, I'm not going to live to then. His 90th birthday was November 10th, and then 6 days later, on November 10th, he died of congestive heart failure. But you know, he had some milestones and he had the will to make it through there and actually gave up at that point, I think. But still, we have things to live for, to see a grandchild do this or that. So family is such an important motivator, and it can be stressful too. But we do that those things out of love. And we should, as parents and grandparents and whatever our role is, we need to take better care of our health to benefit our family.
And for those out there listening, I tell you, a real wake-up call is to go to the hospital to see your father in pain, about to go through a big procedure, any type of surgery involving the heart. That's scary, and that will wake you up.
Yeah, we were in Europe. I was just getting, about 1994 was my dad's first known heart problem, and he would have been 71 years at that point in time. So he went 19 years after his bypass before he left the world. But I still remember that. I was actually getting ready to leave London, coming home for Christmas break. We were living outside of London at the time, and got that call. And by the time I landed here in the U.S., his surgery was already done. And of course, we went straight to see him as quick as we could get there. But it was a couple of days before Christmas in 1994. But I remember those days like yesterday. But that's a stressful thing, and to see that and have to recover. My wife's father's had to go through it twice. He was about, I think, maybe 10, 12 years apart, and it's probably been 12 years since his last one. He's had bypass two different times. But again, that's back to being in physical shape, Scott, to be in good health and to be able to overcome that. If they can intervene surgically, but the body's got to be strong enough to fight back and give you that strength to go through rehab and the things you need to do to recover.
For anybody listening, I would recommend, if you have a family member who has to go to the hospital for surgery involving the heart, you go visit them, number one. But I remember seeing my father in the hospital as well when he had heart surgery a couple years back at St. Thomas. And when you walk into that patient room and you see them strapped to all those machines, you instantly say to yourself, I don't want this to be me.
Yeah, and I have just a slightly different view. I've never been a practitioner in the healthcare industry, but I was involved as a medical representative of product lines and companies that sold into those arenas. So I've been around that since my early 20s and my early parts of my career, and that's what I was doing in Europe as well. So I'm not quite as affected by that as others might be, but when I settle down and stop to think about it, I share the same thing. We all want quality of life, and I think that's what we're talking about in roundabout ways here today is quality of life. And again, the heart's just part of that, but it's such an important part because we all know when the heart stops beating or when the circulatory system has blockages and won't let the heart do its job, if we don't get quick intervention, it's all over for us.
David Hoke is our guest today. We're talking about the Heart Walk here in Rutherford County coming up on Saturday, September the 13th. We'll talk more about that when we come back. Again, time right now is 8:30. Temperature outside holding at 72 degrees. We'll get a check on the traffic and the weather in just a minute.
Bell Jewelers, family owned and operated since 1879, celebrating our 135th year.
Lisa Halliburton.
Bell Jewelers, 821 Northwest Broad Street, Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, voted the best place to buy an engagement ring in Murfreesboro. Greg Tidwell.
Bell Jewelers, award-winning jewelry designer on site with free estimates. Bell Jewelers, 821 Northwest Broad Street, Murfreesboro.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup, buy it in the store, or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
Hi, I'm Robert McConnell, and if you have a car problem, me and my team on Broad Street are here to help.
Robert's Auto Repair, on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
At Robert's Auto Repair, we're always honest, always fair.
896-1407.
Good morning. Looking good in Murfreesboro with traffic moving well. I-24 at 96. Traffic easing a bit. I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. Traffic easing. Broad at Church. Broad at Memorial. Still busy. Church at Middle Tennessee Boulevard. Also busy. Traffic for us still this morning. Simplify your summer with permanent eyeliner. Dr. Beautiful is offering permanent eyeliner for $250 for a limited time. Call 931-433-6871 or go online to drbeautiful.net for an appointment. Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Hi, this is Amanda at Animal City. I'm inviting your family to come do business with my family. And here at Animal City, we have everything that you need to create and maintain the garden pond of your dreams. We're happy to offer tips and advice ranging from picking out your equipment to outfitting your pond with livestock and plants. Come see us at Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro, and let our experience and expertise make your garden pond a success.
It is 8:33 right now. You're tuned to WGNS. Coming up live tonight, we're going to be having, high school football, Ottawa at Siegel tonight. Again, Ottawa and Siegel tonight, high school football. Tune in at 6 o'clock this evening for the game. Now, throughout that game, we're going to be giving you updates of all the other local high school games throughout the county and throughout the region. So make sure you tune in. Brian Baird is going to have live action for you starting at 6 tonight. Now, before we go on talking about the Heart Walk that is coming up, let's first check on the weather.
Good morning, Scott. It looks like we'll see mostly sunny skies here for your day today, high in the mid-90s, and winds out of the south of 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 72, and south winds around 5 to 10. Saturday, showers and storms are likely. We'll have mostly cloudy skies, a high near 87, winds out of the south around 5 to 10. Then by Saturday night, showers and storms are still likely, mostly cloudy, a low near 71. A good chance for showers and storms by Sunday, and we'll see a high near 87. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Again, right now, 73 degrees outside, so yes, that temperature is inching upwards. David Hoke is our guest today. We're talking about the Heart Walk that will be right here in Rutherford County on Saturday, September the 13th. David, I was getting kind of tongue-tied there talking. Do you ever have those days?
I have them all the time, Scott. You're a professional at this. I'm not.
Fridays and Mondays are my day to get words confused and to stumble all over myself. Anyway, I was looking at some of the causes of cardiovascular disease, causes of heart arrhythmia problems, and so on and so forth. There are so many things that cause heart problems that are so preventable.
Yes, and in fact, we talked about the key things, I think, just being that physical activity, the diet, a couple other things we haven't talked about yet, but is just smoking. Staying away from smoking, I think we're yet to see how the new e-vapor or the vapor type replacement cigarettes are going to be figure into that. But you know, if you can avoid smoking, we think of that as cancer and things, but it's really heavily tied to heart health. I lost an uncle on that line whose artery just became so brittle. He had open heart surgery and it split apart and could not save him in surgery. And the other one's just probably four factors we're going to look at is the body mass index. You know, we might say, well, we're not going to match our BMI, our weight or our body frame and things relative to gender and age. But the reality is the closer we can get to that, given what our body's built, the healthier we're going to be. Keeping your blood pressure in check. And if your blood pressure is way out of line, don't ignore it. You need to get the help, you know, medically or from a standpoint of a medicine if you need to lower that blood pressure, if you can't take it away just by doing the right things. The foods we eat, the cholesterol, and the difference between the HDLs and the LDL cholesterols, but get the healthy cholesterol in our diet and get rid of the unhealthy. You know, again, we consume the fast foods, we consume the fried foods, those high sodium foods all affect that. And the other thing that affects is heart health. We think of it as diabetes, but blood glucose levels are a big factor in those. So just monitoring those three or four things, our weight, our blood pressure, our cholesterol, and our blood sugar levels are part of a healthy heart and healthy lifestyle.
Now, the whole smoking aspect, we have had so many doctors on the radio, I mean, over the last, I'd say, 5 or 10 years, telling people, you know, don't smoke. It causes so many problems with your body, one of those being, like you said, the heart-related problems. That's huge.
Absolutely. And I think that we're a society that's prone to addiction. and my addiction here until a few weeks ago, and I'm battling through that at the moment and doing pretty well with it. But mine was certain types of foods. I mean, chips and salsa, and I used to say my favorite vegetable was ketchup. My favorite fruit was salsa. Well, salsa is fairly healthy because it's pretty natural, but ketchup is loaded with sugars and things. But I actually became addicted to those tastes, and just mentally, I'd eat that way for comfort. I'd eat that way when I was stressed, when I was having a good time. It didn't matter. I was drawn to those things, and in some ways almost addicted. I think smoking somewhat the same way, maybe a little more chemically dependent than what I described as my addiction, but you got to find a way to fight through that. And again, sometimes the motivation needs to be more than just our own health. It may be we're thinking about the health of a child, the dangers of secondhand smoke, all those type of things factor in. But the important thing here is that not only affects cancers and things of that nature and lung disease, but it affects heart disease as well.
Along the same topic of smoking, the e-cigarettes, which is what you mentioned a second ago, the American Heart Association, they just issued a brand new policy recommendation on the use of e-cigarettes and their impact on tobacco control efforts. And they were talking about this. And this was actually published in the association's journal Circulation, which I don't know, do they do that monthly?
I don't know. I'd read some things about it just a week or two ago. I think there's a lot of study still being done there. I don't recall and have not seen yet what the FDA's rulings are and where their studies stand on that. But I think there's a lot of folks that are concerned, and it was a quick replacement, but you still get the nicotine and things that you would get in a cigarette. In fact, that's part of what they're trying to do is wean you from the smoke and the things from that cancer aspect, but replace it still with nicotine from another source. And, you know, if it was to wean them off cigarettes, that'd probably be a good thing. But if it's like somebody that's really high on caffeine, and you can have too much caffeine as well. A little caffeine's not bad for the body probably, but the point there is that no one knows where the e-cigarettes are going to go in terms of the real factor in health, heart health, and the fact that they're there and they have the look and feel of the cigarette in the hand and things. What's that do to our young people? What example is that setting there? And maybe a young person says, well, I'm going to be cool. I'm not going to smoke a cigarette, but I'm going to smoke an e-cigarette. Well, 5 years later, that habit turns into maybe smoking real cigarettes and trying that. So in the effort to stamp out smoking, I'm not sure that the e-cigarettes are a big progression forward for us.
According to the American Heart Association CEO Nancy Brown, she said, and I quote, "Over the last 50 years, 20 million Americans died of tobacco use." She said, "We are fiercely committed to preventing the tobacco industry from addicting another generation of smokers." And she was saying recent studies raise concerns that these e-cigarettes may be the gateway to traditional tobacco products for the nation's youth and could be actually renormalizing smoking here in America.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that statistic, and you've got some things in front of you that I'm not looking at, but I think that really is just what I said a minute ago, that I think that's a logical conclusion, that when they begin to see that habit, I think the idea of you know, being young and able to emulate what an adult does, that really probably has led to a lot of our alcohol problems in society over time, a lot of our smoking issues, and this is just a way to bring that back in a roundabout way. That may not be the intent of anyone, but I think there's money motivation behind all this. But the bottom line is I'm fearful personally, without medical background myself, to think that would be a problem.
Now, I know I'm going to get some emails on this because we brought up e-cigarettes here, but, you know, my own opinion, I've got to say this. I think those who quit smoking regular cigarettes move to these e-cigarettes. I think they're taking in more nicotine than they were with the regular cigarettes. And the reason why is because I see these people now walking into shopping malls smoking their e-cigarettes, whereas before they'd have to take a break from shopping, walk outside, and smoke their regular cigarette. So now they're smoking it more often.
Yeah, I'm going to avoid your emails and play a little more politically correct on that, which I rarely do. But I don't know about that piece of it, but I think you're going to see more and more facilities ban the use of them. You're already starting to see that in schools and medical campuses and things. And you're going to see more and more health-conscious enterprises and places put the e-cigarette right along with their no-smoking ban. You know, there's a lot of requirements on even an office building being a no-smoking facility. You have the restaurants and things. And I'm not sure if you can walk into a restaurant here in Rutherford County with an e-cigarette or not, because smoking's banned in our eating establishments. But I think even if you can today, I can see that under discussion in the very near future.
We're talking about the American Heart Association Heart Walk, which is coming up here fairly soon in Rutherford County. Our guest today, David Hoke, and we were talking about some of the problems that cause and lead into heart disease and heart arrhythmias and things like that. And we brought up smoking. Another thing, excessive use of alcohol, which is, you mentioned that, you touched base on that. But a lot of people drink what they call socially. Now, those social drinkers, some of those may tend to social drink almost every single night, which is another problem in itself. But the alcohol use does cause a lot of heart problems.
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with the alcohol piece tied to heart problems, but one thing I think that can come from alcohol is weight gain. And that would that'd be one way that an overconsumption of alcohol would affect the body, from the added calories and things from beer and other drinks. And your mixers and some of your heavier drinks would also be a part of that. So I don't know all the details of that area, but it's still part of a healthy lifestyle, and an overabundance of anything, or that addiction factor to where it's causing more sleep or whatever the deprivation is taking from a healthy life would affect you and affect your heart.
You know, I'm one of those guys who loves looking at numbers, loves studies, loves reading about things like, just anything that has a study to go with it. For some reason, I'm geared that way. Kind of like my reading. I don't read a lot of novels or anything. I read more biographies and fact-based books. But I was looking at this here, causes of heart arrhythmia problems, and it lists a number of things. Heart defects you're born with, of course, is one of them. Drug abuse. Drug abuse is another problem, and we just had a story on this morning talking about the epidemic of prescription drug abuse, talking about how folks are addicted to painkillers out there, Oxycontin, hydrocodone, things like that. And that drug abuse, even though it may be a prescription drug that you're addicted to, those can cause major heart problems as well and end your life at an early age.
Yeah, I'm not sure clinically how those factor in either, but one thing I would think from some of those would be either lowered or increased heart rate, which would affect body metabolism and all sorts of things there. As a runner a few years ago before my knee injury, I used to when I was in shape, my resting pulse rate would lower by 20 beats a minute. And that's a pretty big drop in a resting heart rate. And I could do the math, and somebody'd say, well, you're running, you're using up all those extra heartbeats. Well, if we have a defined number of heartbeats in our life, which I don't really believe we do, but if you did, and you look at the reduction in those 20 beats a minute for the minutes I'm not running versus the increase of 80 beats a minute for the minutes I am running, I was saving heartbeats in a major way from being in shape. And I think that some of that same idea is there with some of these drugs and things. It stresses the body. And when the body is stressed, even though it may not be directly in the heart has to work harder. And the circulatory system is challenged more. And personally, I just went through a physical body cleanse and ended a week ago, took a 21-day cleanse. And it was amazing to me the headaches I had that first week or so as I began to work the toxins out of my system with the program I was on for those 3 weeks. And that was just a reminder of all those poisons that can be within the body. So I think alcohol is something that's obviously a poison to the body. There's a certain area where alcohol occurs in a natural state, I guess, but there's other things where there's a lot of chemicals in these diet drinks we drink and such. And that's another thing that, you know, the artificial sweeteners, again, I don't know the effect on heart health directly, but on a healthy heart, a good, clear mind, I'm sure they have an impact. And folks think they lead to cancer, although studies have never completely proven that, I don't think, but there's reason to believe that.
Now, according to the Mayo Clinic, and there's a lot of good information on their website, they say that some of the symptoms of heart disease in your blood vessels could be chest pain, which is, I guess, the number one symptom people look for. Also, shortness of breath. That's another really big thing to look for. Pain, numbness, weakness, or coldness in your legs or arms is another big thing to look for. Another one, pain in the neck, in the jaw, throat, or upper abdomen or back are even signs of heart disease. And I did not know about those, but that's according to the Mayo Clinic.
Well, the other thing I'm looking on my iPhone here, just at the app, the American Heart Association has a great app. You can go to strokeassociation.org and probably find how to find the app, but it's a fast app. It's called FAST, F-A-S-T, and talking about the signs of a stroke being the face, the arm, speech, and how important time is in response to that. So when you see somebody's face begin to go limp or droop to one side, they feel the pain down the arm, their speech becomes slurred. All those are signs, too, of a quick action relating to stroke. Keep in mind, when stroke is a number four killer among Americans. So when you combine heart disease and stroke together, it's that 1 in 3 factor we get of death. So it'd be a great thing for folks to go look at. I don't have the actual app in front of me, but it's if you go to I think I just said AmericanStroke.org, and you'll find that, be able to find that app, or probably just search your app store and find the Stroke app or FAST app and see if you can't find that. But a great thing to download and become familiar with the procedures to follow in the event that you or someone you love has a stroke. In those times, those immediate responses are so critical in preventing death and just a full recovery.
I remember one time we were on vacation in Florida, and we actually witnessed a man having a heart attack on the beach. That's a very scary thing to witness, and that is another one of those eye-openers that if you've ever seen that, you're gonna want to educate yourself on what you can do to help out in those situations and what you can do to prevent that.
Well, there's more and more programs or more and more areas of life that are requiring CPR training and different things. And I don't know this, but I think I'm right. And I don't know it as a fact, but I think I'm correct. That, for example, your high school sports trainers have all been trained in CPR. Imagine most of your coaches have by today, your healthcare professionals. It goes way beyond that. And one of the things the American Heart Association has done, it's impacting our community, is the effort to put AEDs in public venues and many throughout Rutherford County that have actually come from funds and raised by the American Heart Association. That's a big part of that, of getting people trained, CPR training and things of that nature. Blue Cross is, Red Cross, American Red Cross, another great source for CPR training.
You know, I kind of think it's interesting, just as we were talking, I just thought about this. You know, we brought up three major addictions that are problems here in America that cause heart-related problems, and those three addictions cause numerous other problems as well, those being the smoking addiction, drug addiction, and alcohol addiction. And then you brought up a fourth one, food addiction.
Yeah,
these are big things.
I think food's probably the one that I'm guilty of, and the one that I think has gotten the pass. It's been acceptable for the last 20, 30 years. I mean, you walk around and just look at all of us today, and compared to where our society might have been seen 30, 40 years ago. At that time, we were more of an agrarian society. Our moms and our dads, many of them worked in factories if they both worked. They had a garden in the backyard. We didn't get all our produce from stores. You didn't fly things around as quick as you do today. You didn't have the internet to purchase. You had to move, Scott. And today, we've quit moving. And then, you know, think about it. In my childhood, at least, and a few years farther back probably than yours, but, you know, not a lot of food got cooked in a microwave. I can remember, I think I was probably a senior in high school when I saw the first microwave, maybe even older than that. And so the food I was eating was fresh from the garden, or my grandfather would kill a cow or a pig on his dairy farm, and we'd be eating the meat there, and chickens from my grandmother's hen house. We'd same thing on the meat, and not the eggs came from both places, because the eggs came from my grandmother's too. So we were eating healthy back then. We were eating somewhat closer to organic in that day. Didn't have pesticides in our food as much, didn't have the growth hormones there. I mean, the idea of growing a chicken from an egg to the supermarket in just a few short weeks with the fast growth hormones and things. And, you know, we grow trees fast for paper pulp and things. Well, that probably doesn't affect our health and lifestyle, but the hormones in these other foods got to have a great effect there. So society's changed, and we're seeing it in our obesity. And as I mentioned, you know, adults make a choice. Adults, we can decide to push back from the table. It's hard to do. We can decide that. But our kids, they're following what mom and dad give them. And the factual propensity of obesity in our young children is staggering.
We're talking about the American Heart Association and the upcoming Heart Walk this morning, which is scheduled for September the 13th in Rutherford County. We'll talk more about that with our guest David Hoke when we come back. Time right now, 8:51. I'll wait for you. That update brought to you by Strayer University. Now is the time to start your success story. They'll give you a success coach and start a personal graduation fund just for you to help you reduce your tuition. Get started at strayer.edu.
The Salvation Army Family Store, where your purchases always help us help others.
We take pride in keeping the store as clean as possible and making it easy for the customer.
Store manager Mark Sheridan.
We try to spread things out a little bit and keep the inventory fresh, and new donated clothes are put out daily. There's never the same thing. If you come in 2 days in a row, you'll never find the same thing in the store.
The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street across from Captain D's on Broad. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
WeatherEye. We'll see mostly sunny skies here for this afternoon, a high in the mid-90s, and winds out of the south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 72. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 75.
Play it again, sports! your fitness headquarters.
We've got our hands on name brands like Schwinn, Horizon, Bowflex, and more. Create your own discount. Bring in your old sporting goods and walk out with new equipment.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
Good morning. Looking good in Murfreesboro with traffic moving well. I-24 at 96. Traffic easing a bit. I-24 at Medical Center Parkway. Traffic easing. Broad at Church. Broad at Memorial. Still busy. Church at Middle Tennessee Boulevard. Also busy. 74 still this morning. Simplify your summer with permanent eyeliner. Dr. Beautiful is offering permanent eyeliner for $250 for a limited time. Call 931-433-6871 or go online to drbeautiful.net for an appointment. Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Come by and visit us any day. Enjoy a hot, delicious cookie and a good cup of coffee with us. Let us see if we can earn your business. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
The Action Line on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
Today's show is brought to you in part by Home Building Products right here in Murfreesboro at 300 West Castle Street. And you know, we built our house probably about 12 years ago, and 12 years ago they installed our garage doors and the garage door openers. And they're still working like brand new today. They do such a good job there on so many different things, not just garage doors. I mean, a huge variety of stuff. Stop by Home Building Products to learn more. You know, they have more than 150 years combined experience there in the store. Thousands of homeowners are very happy customers, and they've been in business for nearly 50 years here in town. Here's some of the projects they can help you with. Let me just give you an idea. In addition to the garage doors, sunrooms, screen rooms, and patio covers, siding and also trim, columns, railing, all that stuff, shutters, gutters, flooring, windows, and exterior doors. But I think one of the cool things would be the screen rooms and the sunrooms. They do such a good job with those. So let's say you have a back deck and you've talked about it for years, you know, talking about how you would love to have a sunroom back there. Well, why not do it? Just call the folks out there at Home Building Products today and find out what they have. There's a lot of good folks out there who can help you. Dell Robertson is out there. Now, he also installed my dad's garage doors probably about 20 years ago as well. So, we definitely use Home Building Products and have for years and years here at the radio station. Stop by and say hello to those folks today. They can definitely help you out. And also call them today. See if you can still get that $500 rebate for upgrading your windows before their special government program closes out. A $500 rebate for upgrading your windows. Home Building Products in Murfreesboro at 300 West Castle, or go to homebuildingpro.net. That's homebuildingpro.net. Time right now, 8:55. David Hoke with us today, talking about the American Heart Association and the Heart Walk, which is September the 13th. Now, David, how long of a route are we talking here for the walkers?
Scott, we're going to begin the walk, as we already mentioned, at 9 a.m., and the walk will be approximately a three-mile route. The distance varies from year to year. We've actually will move our start and finish line. In the past year, it's been in front of the DePaul building. It's going to move now back, I think my direction's right, probably northeast of the ER, but still fronting on a Medical Center Parkway. You'll be able to see it as you come up. Plenty of parking for folks. But we'll then take a walk route to take us around the campus of St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital, and then down Garrison past MMC and into the Gateway Park there, and we'll circle back around. So about a three-mile walk. And if you want to cut it short and turn around early and walk back, there's no shame in that. But we'll have water on the course, things of that nature. And if it's like last year, we may have 300, 400, 500 walkers this year is what we're hoping for.
I know myself, my family, my kids, we have all participated every year and really enjoyed the walk. It's kind of a nice time with family. And then after we're done, we usually go out and grab a big breakfast or something, which is probably not good for us, but it's fun to do.
It's going to be a healthy breakfast this year, right, Scott?
That's right.
Yeah, we'll kick off the morning about 8 o'clock when the festivities will start. We've got sort of a health festival. There'll be folks with free samples of different type of healthy foods, and I suppose there'll be water and things there with that, but there'll be other stations, and we've got a fire truck there to help us kick off the event. We'll be talking and be live on the air with some remotes, one of our media sponsors in addition to WGNS, and we appreciate all you guys are doing for us. KRN News 2 will be out there doing a live remote. We've had some great response or great support from the Daily News Journal and Taylor Lowell and his group over there to DNJ and Lamar Advertising. But on site that morning will be WGNS doing a live TV. And I think if I heard right the other day that maybe Bart's coming out as well, and you guys are going to be there live that Saturday morning. So it's just an hour getting ready, and there'll be little things you do. One of the new things this year that wasn't in my notes here, but we've got what we're going to call a memorial wall, and this be a wall where you can go up and sign, and just before you do the walk, more of a ceremonial type thing, but just write a note in memory of someone that you've lost to heart disease or someone you want to honor on that wall, and hopefully there'll be hundreds of people taking advantage of that opportunity and writing the name of a person they love and cherish that's battled through heart disease and signing a little a memorial respectful note to them.
What are some of the other highlights from this event? I know we only have about a minute or so left.
I think real quick is that our goal was to raise $100,000 this year for the walk, which would be our best year ever, and we're on track to do that. We've had phenomenal support from our sponsors. St. Thomas Heart is the presenting sponsor and a longtime sponsor, and we're appreciative of St. Thomas Heart and the hospital. Other top sponsors, Vanderbilt Heart and Trust Point Hospitals. My co-chair, as I mentioned to you off the air, Janet Bowman, has done just a phenomenal job, and she really was the reason I agreed to co-chair. She doesn't like speaking in the public, but she's done phenomenal. We've signed up a record 21 sponsors this year. Janet's works with Franklin Synergy Bank, and then I'm with Ann Hoke & Associates Keller Williams, so our businesses are sponsors as well. It's not too late to get involved in almost any level for event information. If you want to sign up a team, if you just want to join and walk, or if you want to make a donation, go to RutherfordHeartWalk.org. It's RutherfordHeartWalk.org. You can find all the information there. You can make a donation to no team. You'll see a list of teams typically down the right. You'll see some top teams there. You know, feel free to click on there and just donate for anybody you want to donate to. But we're hopeful of probably walk-up's a bad word to use, but from the walk day itself, maybe another 20,000 or so in contributions. We have people who do fundraisers, doing little garage sales and car washes, and they'll bring those monies in 2 weeks from Saturday. So a great event there. So
sounds great. David Hoke has been our guest today, talking about the 2014 Rutherford Heart Walk here in Murfreesboro, Saturday, September the 13th. If you want more information, you can always Google Rutherford Heart Walk or just go to the WGNS website and type in heart. It'll pull up the story. Thanks for joining us, David.
Scott, it's been a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for what you guys are doing for us.